Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You have felt it. I know you have. If you haven't, you have a very serious, serious spiritual problem, let me tell you. And I am being serious. A burdened conscience. Sometimes the conscience weighs lightly, and sometimes it weighs so heavily that one can't sleep, one can't think about anything else. It dogs you day and night. Now, this is by design. God gave you that conscience for a reason. Are there worse things than a burdened conscience? Should a Christian try to avoid a burdened conscience? What is comfort to the person with a burdened conscience? Is it simply saying, God loves you anyway, God loves you unconditionally? Joining us to answer those questions about a burdened conscience, Pastor Evan Gagline, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon, author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, This Diamond, Christ Jesus. Evan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, the honor is mine. Thank you.
When someone has a burdened conscience, and we'll need to talk a little bit about what that is, but I think everybody has who has a conscience kind of knows what we're talking about, a burden on the conscience. Is it sufficient to say, don't worry, God loves you unconditionally?
I think that is a fantastic question because the answer, surprisingly to some, is no. It's not sufficient. And the reason is it doesn't ease the conscience. I mean, it sort of makes us feel good sometimes, you know, that I want to know that God loves me. But there's so much more to say, and particularly when we're talking about the burdened conscience. Someone who knows that guilt, especially not just a guilt before the neighbor, but a guilt before God. I have transgressed against a holy God. And to just simply hear that God loves me isn't saying enough. Why does he love me? Why would a holy God that's righteous, a holy God that is perfect, love me if I have done a transgression against him? And the answer is he loves me because he has sent his son to die for me. The only way that a holy and righteous God can love me, a sinner, a one who has transgressed against God, is because his son has spilled his blood on the cross for us, for me, for my sin, that whatever the thing is that I'm guilty for, Jesus has lived the perfect life in my place because I could not, and he went and suffered the punishment in my place for the wrongdoing that I've done. And so now, in light of that glorious and fantastic, wonderful news, now I can know that God loves me, shown through the blood of Jesus. And that's the answer we need to hear for a burdened conscience.
So what people often think about, and you mentioned this in your article, they often think, I'm kind of just that lovable. And therefore, that's why God would send his only son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for my sin. Is that the right way around?
Well, see, I think this is the problem. We wanted to do this little survey. We haven't done it yet, but we want to go out and to just ask people on the streets. First of all, do you believe God exists? And if they say yes, what does God think of you? Now, I think that most Christians think that what people need to hear is that God loves them. That everyone's walking around thinking that God doesn't love them or God doesn't care about them. But I'm not sure that's true. I think it's maybe the other way around. You go around and talk to people who believe in God and what does God think of you. I think automatically from the get-go, people think that God loves them. So this is a matter of law and gospel. The law would come along and tell us that we stand before God and we deserve his righteous judgment. And that's what people need to hear first, is that I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of saving. And now, once we have that understanding, then we can hear about the love of God. And again, as I said before, this love of God is shown to us through the blood of Jesus. And so I don't think people are lacking this knowledge that, oh boy, God just loves me because, well, I'm so great. Why wouldn't he love me? I'm a great guy. No, really, what I deserve is God's wrath, but he sent his son to die for me, so he loves me. I think Todd, what this is getting at is who is the lovable person here? If God, or maybe the motivation, why did Jesus die on the cross? It wasn't because he looked out and saw, wow, Todd is such a really great guy. I think I'll die for that person. No, it's the other way around. Todd, I'm sorry, you're a sinner, and so there was nothing worth saving there. I mean, you're an enemy of God, but it's the love of God that compelled Jesus to die on the cross. And so because he did that, now you're valuable before God because you bear the blood of Jesus.
So let's talk about that burdened conscience. What exactly is it? You kind of started in that direction a minute ago. What is the conscience? And then what does it mean for that conscience to be burdened or, as you said before, kind comforted?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I think as we proclaim Christ to people who maybe lack this gift of faith, I think this is important for us to understand that instilled in each and every one of us, fallen though it be, instilled in each and every one of us is a conscience, and this conscience warns us and tells us when we have violated or transgressed against God. And I think the reason this is fascinating is because everybody, no matter what they believe about God, they might even don't even think that God exists. Yet they still have to answer this question: why do I feel guilty? If there's no God, if there's no lawgiver, why do I feel guilty when I've done something terrible against my neighbor? And so that's the conscience, and we never want to do anything against the conscience because. If our conscience is telling us, reminding us something that, hey, this is wrong, we shouldn't do this, and we do it anyway, it becomes easier to do the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and pretty soon we don't have a burdened conscience about this at all. So the conscience is something in each and every one of us that tells us that we've done something against God, and this should bring us to repent. Now, you asked about the comfort. How does this burdened conscience, this terrified conscience, how does it find ease? How does it find comfort? Well, I think well-meaning pastors or Christian books or whatever, they try to comfort by trying to tell you, well, it's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. Anyone in your shoes would have done the same thing. And that might make us feel a little bit better. We might think, oh, okay. But that doesn't actually comfort the conscience. Because remember, the conscience is your standing before God. So if we're really going to have true comfort of the conscience, we're going to have to do something about that standing before God. And just saying it's okay and everybody else would have done it doesn't change anything in that standing before God. The only comfort to be found is that there's an answer for that deserved wrath. And the comfort of the conscience is that God won't pour out his anger and his wrath upon me. The comfort to be found for the conscience is in the fact that one has already taken on that deserved wrath of God in my place. And then what God has for us is not his anger and his wrath. What God has for us is everything that Jesus earned by his perfect life on the cross. So you just got to ask, by Jesus' perfect life, his perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed, and everything that he did and everything that he didn't do, everything perfect, what would God reward his son Jesus for that perfect life? Well, whatever that is, that's what you get because you're bestowed the righteousness of Christ. So this is glory in heaven, eternity with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and eternal bliss. This is what we get, not because of our works, but because of the works of Christ.
So with about a minute here, is it more dangerous, if we could speak of it in these terms, is it more dangerous to have a burdened conscience or a conscience that, in a sense, doesn't feel any burden whatsoever?
Oh, by far. By far, it's more dangerous to have a conscience that doesn't feel burden whatsoever. And I think the Christian should always aspire to have the conscience burdened. Now, I know that sounds weird, but if a Christian desires to know the Lord's word and studies His word, and the more he engages in that word, the more he's going to find out, boy, not only am I sinning when I do something wrong, I'm also sinning when I'm doing something that when I'm not doing something that I should be. And so the more the Christian knows about the Lord's word, the more his conscience will be burdened. But see, that's a good thing in the sense that we'll be driven to repentance, and a burdened conscience drives us to the cross, so that we're trusting nothing in our own efforts, but we're trusting only upon the blood of Jesus. And that's where the Christian wants to be.
Let's take a break. When we come back, that raises a question. And it kind of goes with the subject later in today's program when we review a sermon by Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen's answer to a burdened conscience is, God loves you anyway. Don't worry. Feel better about yourself. Does an answer like that do more harm than good? We'll answer that question after this.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Evan Gagline is our guest. We're talking about a burdened conscience. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon, author of an article in the latest Tire Things magazine titled, This Diamond Christ Jesus. Evan, based upon what you said before the break, I got to wonder, and it kind of takes us back to where we began. The answer to a burdened conscience, popularly, and maybe the best kind of standard whipping boy here is Joel Osteen. He preaches on a regular basis to people with burdened consciences. God loves you anyway. That's his response. Is that response actually doing more harm than good?
It does. I know that some people want to pass off teachers like Joel Osteen or any number as just, you know, someone we maybe won't agree with. We won't see eye to eye on some things. But I think this is particularly interesting that our Lutheran confessions, as found in the 1580 Book of Concord, we're not particularly interested in academic work. The Lutheran confessions are particularly interested in that comfort of the soul that we talked about. So that the reason that these Lutheran theologians are willing to put their heads on the line is not because they want to be right or theologically pure or something like this. The reason they want to put their heads on the line is because it makes a difference between a terrified conscience and a comforted conscience. It makes a difference between a right standing before God and a wrathful disposition of God towards a sinner. And so when maybe a pastor points out that, this pastor didn't quite get it right, it's not just because he's being mean or something like this. It's because it matters. It matters. I mean, theology points to Christ, and if we get our theology wrong, we're not pointing to Christ. That's the whole point. And so, you know, if your pastor says, "Hey, I don't think that we should be singing this hymn. It's not, or this song. It's not theologically accurate." Well, he's not just being mean. That pastor has a desire for his sheep to look at Christ in a pure fashion. And if he knows a hymn that's going to point to Christ in a clear way, then he's doing it for the care of his sheep. He's not doing it just because we want to, wear a theologically accurate badge or something like that. We do it for the care of the soul. And any Christian author is to point to Christ and not just to make us feel good. You know, Todd, I was thinking about this because preparing for a funeral and meeting with the family, and you know how this is. It's a very, very difficult time. And the family wanted to make sure that the funeral wouldn't be kind of a downer. And you know, I think that there's maybe two things there. There's one to think that, I don't want this to be sad, kind of the avoidance of death, so I'm just going to try to ignore it and make things, you know, kind of happy. And that's one route, but that route doesn't point to Jesus. I think there is a way that a funeral can be joyful, but it's not in just sort of celebrating the fond memories. The way that a funeral is joyful is to look at the joy of the resurrection. And so I think a lot of these Christian teachers maybe want to stay positive, so to speak, but what they're forgetting is that it's in Christ that we have the most glorious thing, and so we ought to preach the cross and preach the resurrection, and there is our joy and our glory.
Well, it kind of seems to be along the lines of what Paul warns against in Galatians. Now, there he is warning against a gospel that isn't the gospel that sounds like bad news, which is do works and God will love you kind of a thing. Do this, then God will love you. That's pretty obvious. That's pretty easy to see. Sounds like what you're warning against is a gospel that kind of sounds like good news, but really isn't.
Right. You know, when we talk about this distinction between law and gospel, sometimes we have this temptation to think, well, the law is bad and the gospel is good. And so now I think some pastors or Christians think that, well, then good and happy things are gospel and bad and negative things are law. But that's not how it is. So that you go to church and the preacher is preaching things about, wouldn't it be better to have a better life? I'm going to have a sermon series on fathers spending more time with their children. And you know, what father shouldn't spend more time with their children? You know, this is a right thing, and this is a positive thing. So the family goes home from church that day thinking that they've heard gospel because it was something happy and something nice. But what they don't realize that they received that day at church was just admonitions of the law. Go spend more time with your children. And of course, that Sunday afternoon, the father spends more time with the children and has a wonderful time. And then the next night, they have a game night planned. And again, the father wants to spend more time with the children, but something comes up at work and he has to stay late. And now he goes to bed that night knowing that he couldn't spend more time with his children, and he feels guilty. You know, that burden conscience. And so this admonition of the law that was at that church that seemed happy was just things that I should do, and the things that I do are always going to condemn me. Instead, what we need to hear at church is the law. The law isn't a downer. It's what paves the road to the gospel. So we do need to hear that I am condemned. I cannot be a perfect father. I cannot live up to God's expectations of fatherhood. However, I have one who was perfect in my place, and he died the death that I deserved so that when I stand before God, I can be called righteous. And that's what we need to hear from the pulpit on Sunday morning.
So that is why Christians who rightly understand this often, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have. I'm sitting there, in my case, generally across the chancel from the preacher, and I'm listening to my senior pastor preach, and he's preaching the law. And while part of me senses that accusation, that finger that points straight to the heart of sin, as a Christian, I'm pretty happy to hear that law. I'm kind of cheering him on, give it to me because I need it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that when a pastor meets with someone individually and they have committed some sort of a sin, a pastor will just absolve them, you know, say, you are forgiven in the stead and by the command of Christ. Now, the thing that this person has to deal with is that they'll always have knowledge that I did this sin, and yet the preacher is still going to stand in the pulpit and say that is a sin. Now, that doesn't have to be a bad thing for this person, because this person should be affirming that what the preacher is saying is true. That thing that I did was a sin. But the person needs to always do that with, in the other hand, the promise of the gospel. And the promise of the gospel is that even though I did this thing that's a sin, I have a promise of God that I have been declared righteous even though I've committed this sin. You see, the opposite way, the other way to deal with this is if you have sinned and you don't want to admit it, then what you have to do is change the Bible. Okay, well, the Bible doesn't really say this is a sin. Those are your really two options. And I think liberal Christianity has went the way of the one to say things like homosexuality isn't a sin, and they try to twist the scriptures to try and make it say that. Or we could just say, look, I have these feelings, I have these inclinations, and they are sinful, and I could admit that. And as a Christian, I'm happy to admit that, because if I could admit that these things are sins, then I know Christ died for them, and I have forgiveness and salvation in his name.
Finally, then, what would you say with a minute to someone who says, I'm that person you've been talking about, the person that has lived with a burdened conscience? What is Scripture's clear message to such a person with about a minute?
Scripture says this. To hear the promise of God, Christ has died for you, and if he has died for you, then your sins are forgiven. Now, that is a promise from God himself, and I always like to remind the people here at Faith that God has always kept his promises. He has never made a promise he has not kept. You just recount all the times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has made a promise. He has kept every single one. So if he's going to make a promise to you this day, my son Jesus has died for you, and therefore your sins are forgiven, then they are. And that should give us a comforted conscience.
Pastor Evan Gagelein is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. He's co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled This Diamond, Christ Jesus. We'll post a link to Table Talk Radio under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Evan, thanks.
Todd, it's a joy. Thank you.
When we come back, a little sermon review. Actually, a lot of sermon review. We're going to try to get all the way through Joel Osteen's latest sermon preached on Sunday called stay in the game. Actually, with what we've been talking about so far in mind, we should be especially listening for something better than God Loves You Anyway from Joel Osteen as we review his sermon, Stay in the Game, right after this.
The church's music from the 2nd century. The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.